Extreme inequality is a reality in Uganda and is an intractable problem within the mining sector and large-scale commercial farming projects. This is more so with the private sector taking a lead role in the development of the country amidst weak regulatory framework to oversee its activities. In the process, thousands have been dispossessed or have had their rights and dignity grossly violated. Two examples show the magnitude of these problems if unchecked. Moroto District, in the Karamoja sub-region in eastern Uganda. Close to 80% of the land has been parcelled out to mineral concessions with adverse consequences on farming and grazing rights. Not surprisingly, extreme inequality is now a reality and almost accepted as a way of life. Environment degradation and gross violation of labor rights. Not only that, affected communities have not been offered sustainable alternatives after their land was taken away for mining activities, as is required with the country's land laws. Entire communities in the region have been displaced from their communal grazing lands to pave way for intensified, large-scale commercial mining. Accompanying this is environment degradation and gross violation of labor rights. Not only that, little has been done to provide the affected communities with sustainable alternatives, as is required by Uganda's land laws.
In the extractive industry, the private sector, as they do their work, they are impacting on environmental rights, they are impacting on labor rights, they are impacting on the social cohesion, the social setup of the communities where these companies are investing.
Further west in Kiryandongo District in mid-western Uganda, over 35,000 people have been forcefully evicted from land which they farmed and lived on for years, some for generations, and have been rendered landless. For instance, Dawudi Isingoma claims to have been born in the area in 1937. He inherited 350 acres from his father, which has now been claimed by Great Season, a Sudanese company farming maize, leaving him landless. This community has lost the land to big foreign investors who have opened up large-scale commercial farming activities, in the process becoming squatters and trespassers. They have been pushed into poverty as a result and left on their own.
There is a lot of impunity from all groups that are working there. We are seeing police, we are seeing the army, we are also seeing investors who are conducting business without respect for rule of law and business and human rights.
Were it not for activists and advocacy groups, the plight of these affected communities might have gone unnoticed by the rest of Uganda. Fortunately, Dan Church Aid, together with Resource Rights Africa and Witness Radio, are advocating for sustainable business conduct in communities most at risk of the negative effects of unregulated business operations.
Ebintu awanya nnyo nze ng'omwana sisoma. Kye kisookera ddala. Ekyokubiri, wano teri mbeera, emmere tulya naye tetuuka ku mutima buli kaseera tubeera tulowooza ka tunaasengukira wa.
This 13-year-old boy's life was upended when his family was forcefully evicted on land they had lived on in January 2017. Today, all this boy can do is stare into a bleak, uncertain future. He symbolizes over 35,000 others in Kiryandongo sub-county who were disposed and left with nothing and no recourse for redress. Henry Etiang is a teacher by profession. Alokulum Primary School, where he taught, is now a displaced people's camp. Before the evictions, he had big plans for his family. All that is left of his dreams is this makeshift shack on Ranch 19, where many who were displaced by Egli's partners are now refugees.
I had my assets and I had a home that I wished to continue to raise up my life and children and people around me. But now when the investor came, we were disorganized. I myself was disorganized. So mean that I was displaced, even my visions were displaced, everything was displaced.
A way of life and an entire self-sustaining rural community has been destroyed and lives left in ruins. There are no social amenities. There are no roads. There has been no adequate compensation for the losses. Many feel the government has abandoned them.
We are talking about people who had also established small businesses as communities. They had formed community groups and they were saving money. So they would go have stores there, they would stock their maize, they would have piggery projects, poultry and many other things. All the local and rural economy has been destroyed by the multinational companies that are really growing food there.
Not only have they faced widespread destruction and losses with inadequate compensation, this displaced community continues to face harassment and other violations by the new occupants. Women have particularly borne the brunt of sexual and gender-based violence. Since 2017, there have been over 30 documented cases of rape, the culprits going off scot-free. For some women like Atuhairwe, not real names, the double tragedy is when their husbands blame them and abandon their families.
Minaenda kuchota maji. Joya sasa watu anarep mimi. Watu ngapi watu tano. Akarep. Sasa bwana likata mimi mpaka saa hata mimi bana jua fasi bwana yangu iko. Mimi bana jua tena iko naumia na watoto mbaya sana nyumbani. Na sisi iko naumia sana. Naona wabwana wengine iko mewacha wapipi.
The reason as to why this all happened is because of the now the bushy areas of the sugarcane, of the maize, and the workers who are being transported from various areas. They come without women, and you saw, you know, as young men, they cannot do long without women.
The men have not been spared either, as they fight to save what little is left since the evictions. Many have been kidnapped and locked up in police cells over frivolous charges, a popular tool for the police and security personnel in the area.
Na ye engechikwase naku ngafwe abatuze oba abazale ba bomu Uganda muno nga tetulina gatu wetusobola ku reportinga era ne batukiriza twageza ko nyo okutwala ensonga zaffe ku polisi obi misango jaffe naye nga tebatuwuliriza era nga batugamba ati order from above era nga tebakiriza. Teri osi yenna yetantala kuyingiza nsonga zaffe kufaira oba okugulawo omusango gwonna.
Yandeetera abantu abapoliisi tebaloho chairman, tebaloho muntu weena bajja bataha mu nju yange obusumi obwo nkamanyizira kunu ndimire y'ebicyoli nahali ndumisirize nenero gwa iguru mbyairiho obucyoli bundi bira birimire mbyaire bindi. Ebe mio nyini ni biya iziro muunju, ngu nyibile ya televisani na kamera zaye mbibile. Ya ntuara, mukoti.
For the last 4 years, Witness Radio has worked with the affected people here to spearhead efforts at redress by defending the victims and trying to make the rest aware of their rights over land. But it has to deal with a hazy situation. The land in question is government land that was meant to be allocated into ranches but got occupied over time by Ugandans seeking land to farm. There are laws to deal with such a scenario, but they seem not to have been applied as they should.
The law has provided that if you entered land without the owner's authority or knowledge from 1983, October backwards, you are protected by the law and you require compensation before you move. And those who have entered after 1983 onwards really are not compensated Most cases are asked to go back where they came from if they can't regularize their stay on the land.
This is the crux of the matter, where these people, given the opportunity to regularize their stay on these government ranches before the violent evictions were carried out. Apparently, this wasn't the case, and the government seems to have chosen a much harsher option.
If government has bought and titled with its own resources, then it can use like you and me. It can put tenants, it can lease it out, it can rent it. It should also protect it to make sure that illegal occupants do not come to encroach on it.
Yet there is a more recent provision in land management that provides for more humane treatment of people occupying government land.
At the back of our mind, we must have issues of equity, equality, human rights at the back of our minds. That's why there are a number of options that we introduce if it comes to moving people away, if it comes to a resettling. And that's where we have the issues of resettlement coming in. We are currently developing a resettlement policy for the country, which captures all those issues.
In the case of the evicted communities in Kiriandongo, no thought seems to have been accorded to their human rights. Neither has the government considered that the affected communities should be accorded alternative livelihoods. According to some of the evicted people, government resettled them here in 2013 in a bid to resolve the issue of the landless, but they still ended up dispossessed.
Tukapewa ranji kuanzia ranji 11 mpaka 30. Hizo zote wakatuandikia. Wakasema muingie kwa sababu landless ni wengi wapi? Uganda. Kwa hivyo nyinyi wenye mtaingia, tutaendelea kuongeza wengine wenye wanalia nini? Fasi ya kukaa. Sisi tukaingia. Tukakaa mwaka wa 2000. Tuliingia hapa mwaka wa 2000 kwa ranji hiyo, tukaingia mwaka wa 2013 na 13 sababu ilikuwa na 10 ikakuja na 13. 14 tuko ndani. 15 tuko ndani. Hakuna shida. Tukaanza kusoea kupeleka watoto kwa shule, hata kama ni mbali, lakini tunalima, tunapata, tunakaa mzuri. Kufika 2016 siasa ikaanza. Tukasikia hapa inataka walete development. Tukasema na sasa development tutapeleka hata government iko kupanga. Kidogo kukuja na 17 hapo tukaona January creditors kaingia, askari wakaingia, tukaanza kuingiliwa. Sasa tukaanza kuingiliwa, tukashindwa tufanye nini. Tukaanza mambo ya kujaribu district, ndio wamesign wale wa chairman yetu, ndio wamesign hawa, ndio wanasema mujaribu muende pale penye mnaona. Sasa Uganda hii ni wapi? Ukiangalia Bujisu kweli wamekanyaga, wamekata. Ukiangalia ukienda Busoga ndio hiyo, ukienda Hoima ndio hiyo, kila pahali kila watu wako nalia.
Rupa Sub-County in Moroto District is the site where Chinese farm, Sunbelt, has a mining lease to extract marble. Previously, the precious stone was extracted on small scale by local artisanal miners who would sell it off to local buyers from outside the district. Sunbelt, a Chinese-owned marble farm, mines marble on a large scale. In exchange, the local community in the area was paid 1.2 billion shillings in surface rights to leave the place. Gradually, the few who have continued to extract marble have been aged out and squeezed out, Sunbelt slowly fencing off the marble zone to its exclusion. Not surprisingly, the local population is demoralized and very bitter at these developments. Many claim there was an understanding for them to continue extracting marble alongside the Chinese company. This fact is acknowledged by the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Development, under which the mining activities fall.
For the case of Sunbelt, it's a recent license we granted recently. We gave them a different approach. We told them that you go and engage with the community. And the community actually formed the association, for which they were able to actually negotiate with the company. They were able to get a title, their own title, which they leased to the company. So that was a legal way of acquiring surface rights through a community association.
But the population is surprised The company is going back on its word. Charles Okui was one of the early protest leaders when the Chinese firm began to seize marble extracted by local artisanal miners and to trash it. He has emerged as a local human rights defender against the activities of the Chinese. But it is not an easy role. Since then, the relation between the two has been one of mutual suspicion and growing anger from the community. The community claims they have had to forfeit the area, which was previously a prime grazing land with no sustainable alternative for their animals and livelihoods. Access to basic amenities like water are also increasingly difficult, as most water points have been fenced off or where there is access, severely restricted, like this valley tank. Nanyidik Center and the settlements around are now the next target as Chinese company expands its marble mining area. Yet the Land Act precludes evictions on the basis of owning a mining lease.
Now, an exploration license cannot transform into a land title. Unfortunately, what we have seen, especially in such communities where there is customary and communal owned land, many of the investors have relied on these licenses to evict the locals after discovery of minerals. This is actually wrong.
Crucially, the community claims the compensation in surface rights wasn't satisfactory. They are also not sure about the accruing royalties that are meant to be channeled through associations and trusts that were created for that purpose. An emerging problem here is one of trust and transparency by the elite who are in charge.
There are conflicts even in that have emerged over that little money that we hear central government has sent to the district and again to the sub-county and also to the local associations that have been formed at the local level to manage those royalties.
As a result, the local community seem to be seeing their natural resources being depleted without any tangible benefits to them.
I've seen this place change, tremendously change, within a period of 10 years. A lot of changes have taken place. So we are looking, like I said, we are looking at this mining and extractives as an opportunity for the region to really prosper, now that we are being gazetted, we are going to be gazetted as a marble city within this region. So we will see this place change. But the change will have to come with a lot of local content. Because if the change is not driven by the owners, that's not going to be a sustainable change. People must go to school. Children have to go to enroll to school. Girls, which courses are they studying? It's a question. For us, we studied science, local sciences, social sciences. Our children must basically go and do real science, pure sciences. Okay? So that's the direction we want.
Tapach Sub-County in Moroto District is home to the Tepeth, one of the ethnic subgroups in Karamoja. The Tepeth are considered a minority, and Tapach Sub-County is remote and disadvantaged even by Karamoja standards. It is here that Tororo Cement, one of the biggest cement manufacturers in the country, has been extracting limestone for close to 20 years. The ownership of the land is not clear, with the area being part conservation area and part communal land. According to the Minerals Ministry, the initial agreement to mine was with UWA, the owners of the surface rights.
For example, for the case of Tororo Cement in Kosovo, that license was granted some long time ago. And part of the land ownership there is what I was explaining to you. It's a bit complex. It's a conservation area, but at the same time, there was need to recognize local ownership or local surface rights as well for the communities. So Tororo Cement at that time got a consent from the conservation agency and then started mining.
There is no tangible benefit to the community save for the loss of vital grazing lands, destruction of the delicate environment, and the gross violation of labor rights with impunity. The people who work in the limestone quarries are entrapped. No sustainable alternative livelihoods, and digging limestone manually with no protective gear and very little pay as the only alternative.
People are two categories. There is people who burn stone with the boulders. When the excavators excavate them, and then they burn their bank. And then there is another one, we have another people from there. They are in the bush there. So those ones, they are using these spades and those, yeah.
The Department of Occupational Safety in the Ministry of Gender is supposed to ensure that mining firms like Tororo Cement adhere to labor laws, but it is hamstrung by lack of specialized manpower and the equipment and has never carried out inspections.
I must say, we have not gone deep into the mining area of Karamoja. And there are reasons to this. While we share that responsibility with the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Development, especially the Directorate of Geological Mines and Survey, we have not built the capacity as a ministry to check the mining industry, especially that in Karamoja.
Essentially, the artisanal miners here continue to work without health safeguards. Quite clearly, the environment safeguards also seem to have been ignored. Areas where limestone has been cleared out have been left degraded and without efforts at restoration, contrary to the environment impact assessment certification requirements.
And in that certificate, we include conditions that talk to the permitting process to say you must obtain the necessary permits, touching on the mineral rights, touching also on land acquisition and resettlement of the people, which is a serious social concern, but also in regard to water, susceptibility of the water, and therefore the importance of protecting the water resources from possible contamination from the mining activities. So the permitting conditions are put in place. The environmental considerations are also included in the certificate and the social conditions as well, together with the restoration phase and the decommissioning. So the EIA looks at the entire life cycle of the project.
Their health situation hasn't improved in 20 years. There is no improvement in infrastructure. Time has stood still for the place.
This community is one of the two with the minority ethnic group in this country, where there is a lot of disregards of human rights. For sure, for example, Tororo Company, who is mining limestone in our area of Tapach, is the biggest and largest company of making cement in this country. We are not against it, for sure. But what we want to see, that these God-given resources at least could uplift the lives of the people.
Not only has time stood still for the place, as required by provisions of the Mining Act, time has also stood still in terms of Tororo Cement sitting down and agreeing to terms and memorandum of understanding with the affected community. To date, there is no evidence of an MOU or agreement that has been signed with the company.
The mining, the investors started to, they started in 2002. So when this company came to Koziroi, Tapazab County, so he never even consulted the community. He never introduced himself to the community. So from there, we faced a lot of problems.
There's nothing as such as agreement between Tororo and the community that we can really verify, that which is verifiable, that Tororo has done this agreement with the community, so that we can check that, yeah, Tororo is doing this because they have committed like this. So up to now, there is nothing as such. We cannot see.
For these communities in Karamoja, ignorance and lack of empowerment have played a role in the extreme inequalities and lack of equity that they face. Their rights are violated or disregarded due to this widespread ignorance. The elites who should help seem to have taken advantage of their ignorance instead of defending them. It is only organizations like DCA and its local implementing partner Resource Rights Africa that are trying to help through what is called transformative action public dialogues with the community, government, and concerned investors.
As Resource Rights Africa, we've been operating since 2016, both in the Albertine Graben and in the Karamoja sub-region. And we've been using a multi-stakeholder dialogue approach to ensure that the private sector, the government, and the community members come to a round table to discuss issues of business and human rights. But also at national level, we've been in the process of supporting the government to come up with the National Action Plan on Business and Human Rights. And in all this, we are trying to ensure that the business community, as they invest, as they do their work, there is also respect for human rights.
For the case of Kiriandongo, Witness Radio is helping the thousands who have been affected through a series of court action to get redress for the forceful evictions and the destruction of their assets in 2017. But this alone will not be enough, especially for young victims like Talemwa Elliot, whose dreams were shattered in 2017. He is also among the eight men in his sub-county that were arrested on frivolous charges of threatening violence. He sees his country as having meted out an injustice to his community that has not seen any redress and looks like it will not.
But we will itaka, but we will itaka, but we will itaka, but we Titwine kitu kufuna ito nkama na Uganda. Tugienka.
There is thus urgent need to review and address the regulatory and legal framework that allows such violations to take place, even as the court processes take place.
We have the Employment Act, which spells out what an employer must do before recruitment, during recruitment, and even after employment. It spells out the obligations of the worker. And if you go further, you'll see that we also have the OSH, Occupational Safety and Health Act, which now, as I explained earlier, is to safeguard the health and safety of the worker during employment, but also extends after employment.
This, it is hoped, will lead to an end of victimization and extreme inequality in as far as land is concerned.
Sustainable business is good business, because the trickle-down effects of sustainable business in terms of a happy workforce, in terms of a happy community, in terms of customers who are loyal to your brand because you're doing the right thing, you cannot quantify those in money terms.